Veränder deine Welt, aber dieses Mal richtig, zusammen mit deinem Gym and Fitness Podcast, powered by Nicletic. Hello everyone, today again an English version with Alison Testo. Hi Alison, how's it going?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Hope you are too.
Yes, I survived my third week in a row being sick, but now I hope it's the end because I miss gym really a lot. I was like one day in a gym and then started feeling sick again. And then I quit waiting and just taking medicine against inflammation. Yeah, it's a mess. I hope now I can enjoy my life going to the gym as a normal human who is addicted. So today we want to talk about posing mistakes and also about surgery. So I would like to start first with posing. As I remember, I think it was 1 month ago when you were in Germany giving a posing seminar, but for beginners, right?
Exactly, yes. It was the end of February, but just yes, for beginners.
Did you recognize there like common mistakes being made as a beginner or even in general?
Yes, the most mistake the beginner are doing, this is on the back pose. On the back pose, the bikini girls, they over bent to the front of them. So they don't understand really how it works, but it's totally normal because they reproduce what they see on Instagram. But the point is that we explained them during the seminar that the judges are judging under the level of the stage. So it's very important for them to remain standing straight with just a slight lower back curve. But if they bend to the front, unfortunately, they just broke their proportion up and down. We don't see the upper body anymore, so it's not looking like an hourglass shape. But also sometimes this is not their foot, this is the foot of the coach too, because this is something that I have also in France, but the coach just focus on condition and muscles sometimes, most of the time. And the coach asks the girl to bend a little bit to make the adductors and the hamstrings popping more, because they are not conditioned enough, or they don't have muscle enough because they are first timers. So they ask them to pose bending to the front to make everything pop. But the problem is that you cannot cheat muscle development and condition with the posing. You can cheat a thicker waist or smaller glutes, bigger glutes, or things like this, small details, but you cannot cheat the work of the coach. So that is the main mistake the girls are doing. Do you want me to keep speaking about the back pose, or do you want me to say the others?
How you prefer. It's up to you.
The second mistake they do is that they overpose. So in fact, instead of understanding that bikini has to be proportional up to down, they try to do a lat spread and show that they have back and shoulders. But the problem is that doing that, they overpose like a figure, so the lower body looks smaller. And sometimes this is the opposite. They just try to push too much the glute to the judges on the front pose, or bend too much the front knee to show something. But the problem is that it thickens the waist and it does not show the natural shape of the glutes. So in fact, yes, the second mistake is that they overpose the posing. But in fact, bikini posing has to look natural. So if the pose looks forced, this is a huge mistake. Yes, misconception of the bikini posing.
Also with the hair in the back pose, I think the most athletes do not understand why or what they should do with their hair. So it's not like flipping the hairs because the hair looks beautiful. It's just putting them in an elegant way together. They should not cover your shoulders.
Exactly.
So because the shoulder is a criteria that is judged, and the judges want to see your free shoulders. not covered by your hair.
Exactly, yes. They usually do some air flip movement with the hands, but instead of putting them in the middle, they spread to the outside. So it looks like yes, like too much hair everywhere. So this can be good for wellness at some point, but in wellness, you still need to see a tad of the rear shoulder. But yes, so that's a misconception also for the hair. Second thing I can see is that they don't know anything about the feet placement, which is totally normal, on the transitions. So in fact, they just try to reproduce what they see on Instagram, but it's a little bit easier than this, actually. They just have to put the feet in a T position on all the transitions. Easier. So that's the common mistake. Sometimes they place the feet a little bit like too far to each other, or they are too front on the transition, or they show too much glutes. So this is the problem of angling the pose and placing correctly the feet. But that's something that can be learned during the seminars that Valentino is making for German girls, or during posing lesson when you choose a teacher.
What I also learned with you as a posing coach was to show the proportion wide, slim, wide. And this is something that I used 1 week ago because I met an athlete and she's competing now in 3 weeks in Switzerland. And she showed me her eye walk. And the problem was that she had like one transition pose in her eye walk that was really straight. So I told her just show your glutes maybe a little bit from the side, then you have like the wide, slim, wide angle. And you,
Exactly.
as you said, some athletes, especially the beginners, don't have like the glutes or the shoulders they should have for a bikini, but you can a little bit cheat with your posing so that it looks like you have more.
Exactly. And also, one thing is like the knowledge to be able to help all the girls, it comes with experience. The more you practice posing on big stage next to big names, the more you see different shapes, the more you see the way they pose, the more you speak to the judges also, the more you listen to the podcast, the more you speak with all the coach, the top coach, because of course they know a lot because they know the criterions of the category by heart. So it's a mix of experience, and that's also why some amateurs, even if they move well, for example, they cannot teach the posing. Sometimes I can see in France, but I guess in Germany it's the same. First timers in bikini, just because they move good and they walk correctly, they start to give posing lessons. But the problem is that they teach their own mistakes to the girls, also the good things, but their own mistakes. And the posing is like, it's a little bit more technical than just moving good. It means that you got, for example, the T position for the transition, and it's a T position for everyone. And yeah, and after the angles you place your shape will change. But the T position can be an L, another side L, or a T position is fine. But yes, it's a little bit more complicated than that. So that's something that need to change, but I know it will not change, not tomorrow. But yes, the girls have to understand that that's a little bit more complicated than that. For example, I got a girl who contacted me this month to have the video correction, and she is posing teacher in France. She has recently few clients, but she was doing so much mistakes. I think it was the worst. She was doing crazy mistakes. And I was wondering if she teach that to the other girl. Like, it was the girl who were bending the most to the front on the back pose. And I was like, no, it's impossible. You cannot do that. Because I was seeing, literally, I was seeing just that of upper body. And the camera was front of her, not down. So literally, she was like 90 degrees. But yes, this is a little bit problematic, because once on stage you discover that finally the posing is not good, and you don't even know if your shape has been judged correctly, because no one will look good on 90 degrees back pose.
True. We have the same issue here, Germany or Switzerland. And also, I think you have to have the skills of a coach to show the posing in a practical way. So maybe you are good on stage, you made a good job, you have the first place or whatever. But as a posing coach, the posing should be individual for the person who wants to learn the posing from you as a coach. So, as you said, maybe an athlete has bigger glutes or bigger quad. You have to show up glutes more or hide it. The same with quads, for example. So, as a coach, you have to really look individual for the person who wants to look good on stage, how the posing has to be created.
Exactly. And one thing I can add on this is that, for example, I see a lot of amateurs in all the federation that are posing very good but are very bad posing teacher because they don't understand the few details, but they don't know how they can explain to teach, but they do it perfectly themselves without knowing anything. And there is some athletes, like for example me, who don't pose. I'm not the best poser. But I know that I teach good because I got an eye that can adapt to everyone. But I am not the best poser. If I think about the best poser ever, I really like, for example, Jasmine Gonzalez. I really like, I don't know, Vanya, who just won the Arnold UK. I think she's an amazing poser, and I'm not like this, clearly not. But I think I'm better in teaching. And that's something very different because you can be a good dancer or you can be a good teacher. And this is not exactly the same thing because teaching is, you need geometry, you need anatomy, you need physics. You need a lot of things. And this is not something that go out from you, but this is something that go out of your head.
Yeah.
So this is way different.
That's also a good point. When you pose good, it doesn't mean that you're also a good posing teacher. I also have a question because there are a lot of posing teachers, right? And a lot of them are also pretty good. Not all of them, but a lot. How an athlete can choose the right teacher? What would you say?
I would say that the future client has to look at the results of the posing teacher. In fact, she has to look to the clients the posing teacher have, look like look to, sorry, the before and after of this client, but also the result on stage. Because the classification on stage of the athlete will depend, of course, on the muscles and the condition. But some athletes got the muscle and the condition and never place because they don't pose correctly. So the future client has to look at the results, factual results, not the way she posts reels on Instagram, dancing, da da da. Does she win something, the girl? Not the posing coach, but the clients of this girl. So maybe they have to look at, yes, first place, second place, overall in pro qualifier or pro card. Will and then the future client will be able to make a choice, I think, because yes, I think the clients who have the muscles and the condition, they will document themselves to take the best posing teacher. That's first thing. The people that have real potential, they will ask for the good posing teacher. And they will get easily a pro card with the good shape and the good posing teacher. So I think that's the main thing.
When I just remember last year for myself, I worked with three posing coaches. I started with one posing coach because the beginning is like learning the front pose and the back pose and then just holding the posing. And afterwards, I stayed with one posing teacher for the eye walk. And then when I was a little bit more comfortable with the eye walk, then I wanted to have more input from also other posing coaches. And then I stayed with this one who gave me the best opinion or the best recommendations. At first, I think it doesn't matter which coach to take. And then if you go to detail work, it's up to take a person that pretty has the knowledge at first, and also second, who explained it the way that you understand it. It's like an relationship between coach for nutrition and your training, and an athlete should be also like posing coach and athlete.
Yes, for what you say, to start with, no matter the posing coach, I can agree, but just in different profile of person. Like for example, if you are someone who adapt very fast, it can be easier to take just a posing coach and then to go more in details. But for example, if you are a person who has trouble of learning a lot, like no consciousness of your own body, left and right, and this is very hard for you. You should go with someone who knows perfectly from the day one which phone pose is going to be best for you, because then some girls are not able to change the way they were posing before. I have that often. For example, they start with amateur here in France. So they start, they practice during 8 months, the front and the back pose with the transition. But when it comes time to correct, because they were doing wrong for their shape, they are not able to correct anymore. The mistake, they stay. Yes, they stay. They stay, and once on stage, they redo the mistake, and they are not able to correct everything. And that's sad, because of course, the only thing that can change from time to time, depending growth season or on season, it's maybe feet angle, the front feet angle on the back pose, the feet angles on the back pose and the front pose, sorry, and the waist angles. But then all the rest, it has to be settled perfectly. Like for example, I have girls spreading. And someone told them it was perfect. So they were spreading the shoulders on the front pose and with the arm like this. And now it's very hard to remove because it was like big mistake that we learned at the beginning, because of course the teacher was amateur with just one shoe behind her, so she does not know anything. So yes, you can choose whatever which coach you want, but choose someone who already knows. And then after that, you can have different opinion, of course, but don't choose someone without experience at the beginning.
Right.
Experience is very important. It's even more important than reputation or classification on stage, because a good teacher can be a bad athlete. That can happen because she don't fit the criteria of the category, or maybe she's like she has health troubles that don't help her with condition on stage or things like this. But yes, experience is very important.
Would you recommend for the front pose, you can have the fixed leg is the your left or right leg? Know what I mean? You can do it like this from this side, from left or from right, the front pose. To be honest, I can only one side.
Yes, me too. I look like shit on the left, but big
Yeah,
shit on the left.
me
Big
too.
shit.
But there are also some coaches that recommend to learn also the other side in cases of how you get positioned in the lineup even.
Oh,
What do you think about that?
I think it's bullshit. I think it's bullshit. It's better to always practice the two sides. Yes, for anatomical reasons, not for the stage. So, for example, I will explain you what happened when I was in IVB Elite. I was showing both side poses. So, my two side poses were more or less symmetrical. But when I moved to NPC, I was practicing just one side, my best side. And then the left side stay behind. But the point is that my rotation of the lower back was only on one side. So at the gym, I started to have a difference between the left and the right because I had more intention to the right at the gym. So the left side, leg, glute, calf, everything was a tad smaller and developed slower than the right side. So it's very important for us anatomically and for the gym and for the symmetry of the muscle to practice both sides, particularly for the rotation of the lower back, to don't have the hips difference. But it's also important to practice in case the judge, for example, think you have two big legs on this side and on the other side is smaller. It's very important. But not for the stage placement, because about the stage placement, if, for example, you are posing right and you are at the base of the judges totally on the right, you just have to angle your pose for the head judge. This is very important, but you don't have to show the other side because this is not your best side.
Yeah.
So what's the point? It's impossible. No.
Yeah, I agree. I always show my best side and that's it. So
Which one is your best? I think it's the left for you, no? Or the right?
the
The
right.
right.
Yeah. I tried
The
once the left
right.
just and practiced it, but no, it was really a mess, so I just quit and said, okay, I just learn the right and fuck
Me too,
the
it's
rest.
terrible. It looks like very terrible. In IFBB Elite, I was almost symmetrical, but I have troubles of rotation with my lower back. But it was not that terrible. Now it is terrible because the glutes don't look the same, the leg don't look the same at all. The waist
Yeah.
also different. It's bigger on the left side, and I have totally no mobility on the upper body, so it's a mess.
I think also you don't feel it. Like if
Yes,
it's not your right position, then you don't feel the pose and yeah.
I know. Yes, you don't.
You can't sell this pose then to the judges. It's
No,
impossible.
impossible, no. But when I teach, for example, the posing to real beginners, I always tell them, do you already know your best side? And when they told me yes, I am like, don't tell me. You're gonna do your front pose, show me, you're gonna do the other side, show me, and I'm gonna give you my opinion. And then we see if this is matching. Most of the time, this is matching, but some girls never try on the other side. So finally, they discover they feel better on the other side. They were just trying to reproduce the same side that Laura Lee, for example, but Laura Lee
Yeah.
is posing on the left. So they were naturally posing on the left, but the right feels better. So they are actually surprised. But yes, all the time I make practice both sides and I tell them, okay, go for the right. Or go for the left, but keep practicing your left, not to create an imbalance at the gym like I did, because my physio like was really, really angry against me, told me, what the fuck? You have created such an imbalance, and now to take back the difference, it's the mess. I have 4 years of training, totally like this.
Good
Crazy.
points. Good points. What do you think? Is it possible to learn in the same time posings for two federations? Like, for example, an athlete wants to start in MPC and IFBB Elite.
That's something I do in my lessons. For example, we got one IFBB type of show coming at the end of March. And in April, we have the regional NPC. And sometimes the girls want to do the both competitions because the first show is IFBB posing, but this is not IFBB Federation. So they can move to any place they want, any federation they want. So usually they book 1 hour, and the first 30 minutes, this is for the posing they want to focus on, and the last 30 minutes, this is for the other posing. But the point is that I explain them really hard that, okay, after the first 30 minutes, you have to wash your brain, forget everything I told you, and now we can focus on the second one because the hand placement are different. For IFBB, this is like ballet, kind of, and they don't care. They care, but they don't care that much how much you place your muscle, like in NPC. In NPC, this is more technical. In IFBB, this is more dancing and present yourself good. But yes, they have to forget everything. So I tell them, look, we do things separately. But yes, of course, they can. And that's why when I give the posing lesson, I always record the full posing lesson for them to get the replay sent to them after all. Because if I don't, they forget everything, or they messed up everything, they mix all together, and that looks bad. So I always leave the replay for them to be sure they are doing something correct.
Yeah, it's not so easy because the side pose from IFBB is nearly the same as the front pose from MPC. And as I remember at the beginning, because I started with IFBB, then changed to MPC, I made in the front pose like something between the both federations, and I had to train a lot to get into it and only make the correct pose. I would, for myself, because I'm not like the best posing athlete, I'm maybe one of the worst. I need a lot of
No.
time to learn it. Oh my God, it was so hard. This was so a painful way. Like, I love training and I can train even if I have zero carbs or if I have to do a lot of Stairmaster. This is for me okay. It's not the best, but it's okay. But posing, I hate it. Really, I hate it so much. But I got used to it. Now, I would not say I love it, but I like it. Let's say it like this.
Good. But I have a question. What was your technique to remember how to pose, to practice? What was the technique you were using when, for example, you said to yourself, okay, I'm going to do 30 minutes of posing today? What was the way you were starting your practice?
So first I started with front and back, and then I did
The terms.
the turns, but also for I did like the same mistakes always, like the knee was not inside or not straight, it was like more outside. So first I would say if you have a teacher and you have a lesson, I would not say okay, for the next 2 weeks, I will not practice it. Just keep going on because if you don't, you will do the same mistakes as you did before the lesson because they are like in your mind and it's hard to forget them. So after you had a lesson with your posing teacher, just keep moving on, not to make the mistakes before your lesson. The second thing is when I recognized my mistakes, so like the knee, my waist, breathing. In the same second, when I got into the front pose, I just remembered knee straight, waist like this. So,
Exactly.
and I did the same on stage. I did the same on stage. Like I was on stage, okay, knee straight or more inside, not outside. Waist, is my
Exactly.
waist correct or not? Also in the back pose, like I in the back pose, I have the problem when I think I am straight, it's not that way because I'm more like on the left leg. So in my mind,
Exactly.
something is unbalanced between my body and my mind. I have to stand more on the left leg and then I look balanced.
Exactly. That's the same for me. That's the first thing. It was years I was doing a bad back pose, but not because I was bending, but because I did not even notice my left knee was slightly more bent than the right. And when I joined Team Atlas, it told me, okay, first of all, left knee straight. And I was like, why my knee on the left would be straight and the one on the right would be bent? I don't understand. When I did that from the back, both looked straight. And I was like, But I am like this on the back, but I look straight. And I was, oh my God, okay. So I understood that point. So to look straight for some people, they have to post totally broken and they're gonna look straight. And I was like, fuck. So now I do exactly the same. I know that I feel good, bad from my back pose. So I straight my left knee all the time, but I do the to-do list exactly the same as you. And I even try to sing a song. Like, for example, you are on the front and you say, back shoulders, up your glutes, back shoulder, up your glutes. And the same for the same for my knee on the front pose. Knee side, knee side, knee side, not knee in. And for my back pose is the same. And I think that's the best way to sing the song like you did, just to correct, because you know that your initial pose is wrong. So sing the song of the three mistakes and everything gonna be fine. And when you're gonna look at the picture, you're gonna say, oh, it's not too bad. It's looking good. But yes, the best way possible is that.
So I made like a checklist. This point, this point, this one. Okay, correct. It's correct, or I corrected in the then on stage, and also not forget smiling. Okay, check.
Smiling,
Yeah,
yes,
because
smiling.
I don't know if you have the same feeling on the stage. You can smile like really a stupid person, and it's never enough.
Because yes, in fact, I failed that. It was in 2022. I was smiling, but this was not me smiling. It was the face smiling. And actually, it's different because when the face is smiling, the smile does not look the same than when you smile. It's so different. So I was smiling like this on stage, but it's not good.
Yeah, it's not coming
Yes.
from your heart.
No, it's not coming from the heart. So I think the best advice for this is that to remember something good in backstage, to think about something very important for you in backstage, but on a positive way. Even if you don't want to lay down or something, just try to find a situation that makes you love, that you have in front of you, that make you feel good, and then go on stage with that feeling and make it continue. That's maybe the only thing, because when you smile just to smile, it's not them. You need something in your eyes to go with the smile. Also, what I recommend is like, and that's something I will stop to do. You're not obliged to show the tooth. When we see, for example, Laurie or Maureen, they don't smile with the tooth. They
It's like
smile with
only,
this. Like this. They do like this.
so they keep their mouth closed and just smile with a closed mouth.
Smile 1 second. Yes, they do. Smiling tooth on the pose. Beach resting face on the transition, and you're just trying to alternate tooth, beach face, tooth, beach face.
But the bitchy face is also very important. I think it looks so good when you do the transition and just look like
Yes.
down, like from your shoulders, like down, a little bit down.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Even when you walk to the front. On your walk to the front, you need to do the resting bitch face and not the smile, because when you arrive with the smile, you got the good friends walk and not the sexy walk. So that's
The
very
good
important
friends
too.
walk.
I practice not that because I know that this is something that is lacking on my posing. I'm more like the athletic bikini, the good friend bikini. Nice trend bikini, but I'm not sexy on stage because I'm not a sexy girl usually in the life. I'm just more raw, that's all. And that's something I worked all 2023 because I wanted to.
Yeah, maybe it's also good to think when I go on stage, I play a role. So I'm not Allison as in real life. I'm the dirty Sarah that is completely a
Exactly.
different person, a sexy bitch that makes all men crazy. Something like that.
Exactly. Exactly. And the point is that, for example, if in life you are someone who are not really smiling all the time for nothing, when on stage if you smile, it does not look coherent. It's not logical. I mean, sometimes I am smiling, but most of the time when I want to pose or do something, I am more like normal. So in fact, I just have to play a role, but not too much. I have to let myself go natural and don't force the smile.
For me, it was very, very hard to learn the smiling because I'm the person that never smiles, let's say it like this. And if I meet person that doesn't know me, they always think that I am very arrogant, also very cold, But my origin is Polish, so maybe that's because of that. Like Polish, Russia, they are more like the closed and cold person. But that only is the first impression. When you then talk with the person, it's completely different. Or maybe the same, depends on the person, also the character. But this
That's
was,
true, that's true.
yeah, but that's a point. You have to learn it. Also be like more open. I competed 2 seasons. My first 2 seasons were in IFBB, and I was never at the first call out. Never, never, never. So I, in Germany, it's like the first 6 athletes that are in the first call out. There were always 6 athletes. They go to the finals, let's say it like this. And I was never there. And after the 2 seasons, I recognized that my biggest mistake is just my appearance on stage, and I have to change something, like my posing, but also how I look, how I feel if I smile. But I was so obsessed with, I want to go on stage and just make it to the finals, not even the first place. And then I looked for a mental coach who is involved with sports, but more like football or basketball. And then I just explained to him what is bodybuilding, what you do on the stage. And he told me, I have never did this before with an athlete that goes on the stage, but let's try. It's just a different sport, but in fact, it's the same. I had strategies that helped me a lot. And before going on stage, he told me, remember something in your life that was really so funny when you even cried because it was so funny. And then I had this situation the whole time when I got on stage. I got this situation in my mind. And also I had to practice before, not only posing, training, meal prep. It was also the mindset perspective. I had 10 points, like a 10 point list, why I should win the next competition, why I should be the first one. And then I had 10 points, and he said to me, always read the 10 points in the morning and before you go to bed.
I'm gonna do that.
That's really so awesome. And then the next point was to fit on in my bikini, in my posing shoes, standing in front of the mirror with my checklist, with my 10 points. And also say it, because you get more into it when you have the bikini on and your posing shoes. And this was so awesome. I went to the stage and I did it to the finals. And then after the finals, it's not like the NPC, you start with the eye walk, only you present the eye walk when you got into the finals. So I did it to the finals, and then I was the first of the 6 competitors who were on stage, alone on the stage, doing my eye walk. And in the past, I was always scared. Oh my God. And this was the first time when I thought, wow, it's my moment. I just go on the stage, do my best. I don't care what will happen. Doing my eye walk, the only thought I had was, oh my God, I'm so fucking tired. I want to go to bed. Usually, when you go on stage, you are more like impressed or stressed. You are scary or whatever. And I was so relaxed and chilled because I did my mental homework. It was so awesome.
So good. It's
Yeah.
so good. On stage, sometimes I think the same. I am like, oh, I want to pee. Like, it's the same. Oh, God, I need to pee. How long is it gonna last? But no, that's so good. That's really, really, really good point. And you never did bodybuilding before. So the point is that is really good mental coach. I mean, like, this is exactly the thing that I would recommend to you. Like, even the to-do list with the 10 points to repeat every morning is something I never think about that, but I'm gonna definitely do that also. Because if you ask me the question now without preparing the 10 points, I would not be able to answer you. But if I prepare the 10 points, maybe I'm gonna be convinced by myself and maybe I'm gonna shine better on stage. But if you ask me now, I will tell you I don't deserve to win.
Yeah,
So, but I have to find something.
I had the same problem. In the end, it took me a lot of time, some days, to have 10 points, but there were like also points telling that you should be number one because your bikini is very awesome, or because you have so long hair and it's a kind of red, and the most of the athletes have either blonde or black. So you are different, or because you deserve it. I do not remember all the 10 points, but you get a little bit creative with these points, but it helps a lot. So for me, as you,
So
and at least I made the first place, so it helped really a lot.
did not fail,
Yeah.
but I think that's the most important because you were focusing on going to finals. But finally, it works.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Do you have maybe some recommendations how to learn an eye walk? Because the most of the athletes copy something they see on videos on Instagram, but in fact, maybe they do not feel it. So it looks good on the person that poses on Instagram, but not it's not the same for the athlete that copies the eye walk.
So, in fact, for NPC, you should take the base of your comparison. So, what I say to my clients, you take the base. So, the front transition to the back and complete turn. And usually, they want to put a second front pose. What I tell them is that in regional, you don't have a lot of time. So, why do you want to put a second front pose? You will barely have the time to finish already. It's just 10, 15 seconds. And of course, you show a second front pose again. So, they already saw it. Don't need to show again. So that's first thing I tell them, okay, so front, back, complete turn. And then I explain them, look, you got different ways of doing transition. I will show you the many, many, many things you can do just for one transition. So what I show them is me, for example, doing all the transition possible from front to the S pose, for example, with the arms movement. So I show them five arms movement different. They choose which one they like the most. And then we go at the second step of the transition on the glutes. So I tell them, you prefer your left glute, you prefer your right glute, things like this. Okay, I will show you how you can transition to this side to your best glutes. And then we go to check the transition of arms. So usually five or six transition different for the arms movement to go on the back pose, things like this, and until the complete turn. And then we just try to personalize the exit and the entrance. If, for example, they're gonna do a pro qualifier and they need a pose in the back of the stage before coming to the front. So I just take the base and I try to add some personalization on each transition. Like this, they don't have their eye walk exactly equal that the other girls. This is totally their choice for each transition. And then, for example, once they practice enough the transition time, the routine, finally they build alone, just with my help, but they choose what they're gonna do. Then they take more confidence, and sometimes they try few things different. They send me, they told me, do you think it looks good? Because no one is doing that. I just want your opinion. And I'm like, oh my God, no one never did that, but it looks amazing. Keep it absolutely. And sometimes it's even better that something I show them and I really encourage them to try things and actually send me and I will tell them if it works. And in some cases, it does not work a lot. It's like you have maybe 1% of the girls who try things and it's amazing. I have one girl doing a transition with rolling finger on the transition to go on the glutes. She was like, no, she was like doing something like this. Impossible for me to redo, but it was looking amazing. I told her, keep it. No one will be able to do it again. And also on me, I have something very different I do with my hand when I do the transition from front to S pose. I'm not able to teach that because it comes from me and I don't even know where it comes. So I see sometimes some girls trying to redo because I don't show my own movement to the girls, but you see when I'm on the front pose, sometimes I don't a kind of rolling things like this with my wrist. It just unrolled together. I'm not even able to do now. But this is the thing that I ask them to explore. Maybe they have things special like this in them. So that's how I tell them to build a routine. Yes. We start from the base, then we personalize entrance, exit, other entrance, other exit, and then try to create stuff on top of this.
You would never believe, but in the past, before I started to compete, I was a dancer. So I did like hip hop dancing. We had a teacher, and this teacher showed our group the choreography. And at the end, because when you dance, you have to be like in the tact. So if it goes like 1, 2, 3, you have to be very accurate, and everyone has to do the same movement in the same time. But at the end, when you look at specific at one person, not at the group in general, everyone does his own style. And that's the same with posing. So at the beginning, you will do the same way as your teacher. And with the while, you just experience yourself. So it's the same movement. It's the same, let's say, choreography, but you just do it your own way. And this own way looks differently. But this is great.
Exactly.
So I also started like this. I got some options. Okay, we can do this transition or maybe just this transition. Let's try both of them and see where you feel more comfortable with it or where it looks better, as you said. And at the end, I decided, okay, we make it like this. Okay, then practice it. I just practice. And with a while, even I did something in a different way, but it was also okay. The most athletes get really crazy because they want, like, from the beginning that it should look perfectly. And they want their own style, and this will never happen. So start with the front pose, with the back pose, then with the transitions, then with the eye walk. And just copy the eye walk from your posing coach and practice it. And in the while, if you practice it more and more, you will get your own style, your own flow, and it will be the same as your posing coach showed you, but in a different way.
Exactly. And sometimes what I ask them is that once we have built the routine all together that they choose how to personalize it, I tell them, okay, you're gonna do the same routine, but you're gonna increase the movement as fuck. So what I want when they do that is that I want they overplay their posing. Do two big movements, do wider movement, do very big to see until which style you can reach. Then I told them, okay, do very small movement, like if you contain yourself in your routine. And sometimes I have both things from the two sides because we have good end movement in the overplaying, but we have also better moment in the very containing posing, and so we try to mix them all together because I don't want that all the routine is overplayed because it looked like too much IFBB on an NPC stage, so we don't want that. But sometimes you just need a peak in your routine which is a little bit overplayed and which look like you, but all the rest has to stay a little bit more on the same line, and sometimes you need a little bit slower movement and very slow movement and low also, so that helps you to bring rhythm to your routine because sometimes they pose like it's all monotonous. So we just need some alternation of rhythm, fast, bigger, smaller, things like this.
Also, the velocity.
Yes.
This is also a point in NPC. It's so important. Oh my God, I did not, even if I danced in the past, I could not get into it. So, when I have to do my movements faster and when to slow down. And then with the time, it comes. But this is why I never will say I love posing. Oh my God, it was really, it took me so much time to learn it. But at the end, yeah, I finally nailed it, plus or minus.
It works it, and also which is good is that when you practice like overplaying or continuing posing in different speeds, when you already know the music, once you enter to do your routine, you are able to slow down and to do the peak of your routine exactly at the moment of the peak of the song, and that's when
Yeah.
it comes very interesting. So every time I go on stage, I try to pause for the music they play because I really want, it's like a reel that you post on Instagram. You always choose the highest moment of the music when you just want to make the best pose ever. So that's actually the same you have to do on stage. You just, even if you have to wait 1 or 2 seconds more to wait the peak of the song, try to make it match with your complete turn to the front or things like this. And this is all the time more catching the judges than if you just do like whatever. I don't care of the song because you
Yeah.
cannot change the song, of course. For beginner, you
Sure.
cannot. But if you know it, try to play with the rhythm of the song.
So the next time when they will say Allison test to as you are the next, and Allison
Yes, but
will wait like 10 or 20 seconds, then you know why. Have to wait for the peak.
I hope not having the same music that every time they put me a French music, they put me a French music, and this is not a good taste. French music, it's like in Olympia the same, in Prague the same. They put me that fucking French music all the time the same. This is the same music. I hate this. This is allez, allez, allez,
Yeah, true.
allez, allez, allez. La 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 la. And I'm like, why do they do that? But don't put that French music. It's not even a song that is good song in French. It's like a football team
Yeah.
anthem. It's the World Cup
So maybe
song.
to our listeners, if you are a DJ on the stage,
Yes.
please put another
Yes.
song for Allison.
Don't put that because of course me, I am entering the stage because I am in the last lineup of the Olympia because of my family name, so I am already well in the last lineup. But the point is that in the last position of the Olympia list, we have the previous winner of the Olympia. So I got my music, allez, 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 on va danser. And then the other girl, she got Beyoncé. So of course, how do you want me to shine with this? I am like, she got Beyoncé. And of course, when she entered the stage, it's like she rolled like this. Of course, it matched.
Yeah,
I
true.
don't know
Oh
why
my
they do
God.
that.
So wish you good luck that for the
I'm gonna put
shows.
another country on my
Yeah. Or just
registration.
if you fly to the next shows, not alone, but with your husband or with someone else, just tell the person that he or she should go to the DJ and say, please play another song for
Please don't do
Allison.
that. No, but seriously, it's like I don't know if you know Crazy Frog, the song of Crazy Frog.
Who does
No,
play
no,
this? I know it.
no, 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 no. It was something very, very famous in France. But it's like yes, it's something you sing because you are happy. It's like a very bad song. It's very
Yeah.
bad. Yes.
Okay, maybe just switch to
Yes,
our other
surgery.
topic. Yeah, surgery. Because as we all know, it's very important on stage to look gorgeous. And this is why a lot of athletes think about making a plastic surgery or even made. What do you think? Is it important or not?
So, I don't think breast implants are taking into account for the judging of the judges. But of course, if you don't have breast implants, you have to balance your upper body with your lower body. So it would ask you to maybe develop a little bit more lats and shoulders to bring the balance the judge are looking for. So if you don't have breasts, this is not a problem, but you will have to add some size on the upper body to match with the lower. That's important. Then, of course, if you want to do breast implants and you have the a V-frame on top, you will have to reduce a bit your muscularity on the top, because then once you will have the implants, you will even look bigger with the implants plus the shoulders and the lats. That was the first thing I saw when I did my implants. I was like, oh, okay, now I am very wide on the top. So this is not mandatory, but it's like everything, you have to create the hourglass. So if you don't want breasts, no problem. Get nice shoulders and nice lats. If you want breasts, be careful not being overpowering with your lats and shoulders and with the size of your breasts, because a lot of girls will choose too big size. Too
Yes.
big size, very big, because they do the surgery in off-season, so they are quite heavy, quite fatty. But once you are stage lean, you have to be careful with the thin skin. The breast implant looks very big and like very fake. So what I advise is for the girl wanting to do breast implants, try being not too far from your stage condition, just to see if you choose the good size for the perfect ratio. That's something important. Also, this is not mandatory. So me, for example, I did not do it on purpose for the competition. It's very important to do the breast implant for a good reason. Don't do it because you want to win in bikini. That's not the good reason. You can do it because this is something that makes you feel uncomfortable not having breasts, but for your life, or because you decided it looks better or that you want it. Do it, but don't do it for the show, because it's going to be a bad idea. It's better if you like yourself also in your life. Then for the rest of the surgery, like, I mean, for example, I got some posing clients who were fat people in the past, and a lot of them have falling skin. And that's very important, because it happened to a lot of women also who were pregnant. They have falling skin, like big falling skin. And they asked me, okay, do you think I'm gonna win even if I have the skin falling on top of the bikini bottom? And I'm like, yes, it's important, because you go in a sport where they judge symmetry, skin quality, muscles, small waist. So, of course, this is important. I don't want to lie to the girl. No, you don't have any chance if your skin is falling on top of the bikini. Clearly, you don't have. So, if you want a future in the bikini division, do what's necessary to don't let the judges know you were obese in the past, very fat in the past. That's the only thing. When you go on stage, no one has to see that you were fat or skinny or anorexic or pregnant, that you have two children. You have to look like your life has been designed around fitness. That's the point. So I always advise to do it if they want to succeed. But if they don't want to succeed, keep it. Do the competition for the pleasure, but don't expect to win, because it's not aesthetical for sure. So that's the second point for the surgery. And then if I speak for the surgery for the face, for example, I think this is very important to understand that the more you grow and the more you lose fat, the more you create holes on your face. Like, there is some fat cells that will never come back where you lost them. And the more you prep, the less you got fat water under your skin on the face. So that's complicated, because a lot of people are against surgery and against small plastic surgery on the face. But the face is deteriorating with the time of prep. So for me, for example, I was totally against when I started, but then because of the preps, I start having holes here, all my cheeks were gone and never came back. Even if I was taking a lot of weight and fat, it was already looking skinny, and I had to refill to take back my face of before. So things like this are important. If you go on stage and you look dead, it's complicated. So then you can choose. It's not mandatory, but you have to look fresh. And sometimes makeup cannot do nothing for the bones that are going out or things like this. So it's very important. Also, me, for example, I did the dark cycle. This is something I always had, and I was always feeling very bad with my image all my life because I had like really lines, but deep lines in my dark cycle. So I just feel it, and now I feel so much more confident. So this is not just about the look you're gonna have on stage, but it's also about, do you feel better like this as a human? If yes, so you're gonna look better on stage. So it's the same for the breast implant or the face. So I think plastic surgery is important, but only yes, if it makes you feel more beautiful for you.
Yes, I agree totally. But it's different for face and for breast, because for breast, I would also recommend only to do when you feel uncomfortable with them in your life. So when you do a lot of preps, they also change. So the fat accumulation
Yes.
is totally different. This is why I also said, okay, I will make a breast surgery, not for the stage, but for me to feel like more comfortable in life. My size is also not so big. Last year when I was on stage, it was the first time with my implants, and I found out they could be a little bit more bigger, but at the end, it's okay. So for me in my real life, if I'm not an athlete on stage, it's perfect. I don't want like big breasts to show up, just to have something to feel like more comfortable for myself, and that's okay. Would you recommend to do it when you are already really skinny or before?
I recommend to do it like on a regular basis. Like if you do it all in once, your body gonna absorb it because it's hyaluronic acid, so your body gonna use it and eat it very fast once very dry. So if for example you do lips filler or cheeks filler, you can be sure that if you don't do it regularly, your body in 10 days absorbs everything. Like, because it's based on water also, so it just hydrates your skin and then goes away. So me, I do it every 6 months. Like, for example, yes, I do the cheek, a little bit of the upper lip and the Botox on the forehead every 6 months. And then maybe once every 2 years, I do the dark circle just if they appear again, because it lasts a lot longer for the dark circle, because it's not a place that lose fat. It's a different. But yes, every 6 months is good because you nourish your skin all the time with the hyaluronic acid. So it does not absorb that quick.
Unfortunately, the last about 5 minutes could not be recorded of my podcasts with Allison. I don't know what was the issue, but what I can say is that Allison and I are in agreement regarding surgery and also Botox. So if you are unsatisfied in your private life with your breasts, you can make a plastic surgery, but I would not recommend it to only do it for the stage to look better. Because even at the highest Olympia top bikini athlete, you can see like Lauralee or Phoebe, they also do not have plastic breasts, but they are at the highest top of bikini athletes in the NPC world. For the Botox issue by myself, I can say I have never tried it for the stage, only for my private life, but it's a good idea to have more fullness in your face and don't look so dead when you are pretty skinny and when you go on stage and when you are super dry. So maybe this is a topic that I would try by myself. And so I hope you had a lot of fun and could take a lot from this podcast with Allison. Hope you could enjoy it. And I wish you a nice day. And I would also invite you to hear my next episodes. Thank you and goodbye.